Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Everybody can be great, because everybody can serve." We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks and elves engaged in community serving. In previous years, holiday elves can be found setting up giving trees from Chimicum and Irondale to Nordland and Port Townsend. Local businesses allowed these busy elves to install holiday trees into their shops and places of enterprise, offering the opportunity for community members to give a bit of cheer to children and families in the Jefferson County area. This annual event has been impacted by our current health crisis, but rest assured, these elves are tenacious and under the creative and steady leadership of their lead elf, Kelly Liskey of Christmas for Kids. The effort to bring smiles and joy continues. Welcome to our program, Kelly.
Thank you, Missy. It's great to be here today.
We are so glad you could take the time out to join us because this is indeed the busiest time of year.
Yeah, it definitely is for most people, and the pandemic on top of it is not helping. So
my goodness, I love learning about the inceptions of this effort and the heart behind it, how it started and continues today. It really exemplifies how one person can light the fire that makes a difference. Can you tell us how Christmas for Kids got started?
Absolutely. This program has actually been around since 1974. My husband's grandmother, Janice Schauer, started this program way back in the day when she was riding on a school bus. She was an adult aide on a school bus, and Christmas was her favorite holiday, and she had a couple of kids who, when she asked what Santa brought them after they came back from school, they said nothing. And that is really what sparked this program. It used to be called Tri-Area Christmas for Children, and in 2013 we took on all of the county, and so today it's called Christmas for Children.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting that you were absorbed another effort and you really had to step up. I understand you basically tripled in size.
Yes, we did.
So what is the geographic area that you encompass your effort?
We cover all of Jefferson County. So Port Townsend, Chimicum, Port Havelock, Irondale, Nordland, Port Ludlow, Quilcene. We don't do a ton of work in Brennan because they have their own program. But if families approach us from there and they're not receiving from another program, we will help them.
And the basic effort is a giving tree that includes what? I mean, what is it that you are providing on that tree?
So parents or custodians of kids are allowed to sign up to receive gifts. And what they can request is a wish and a need. And in addition to that wish and need, we do our very best to provide an age-appropriate gift item, and we do our very best to provide the need based on community support. And in addition to those things, we also provide some sort of family game or arts and crafts supplies. We provide socks, hats, and gloves depending on their age. The local dentists here in Jefferson County provide toothbrushes, toothpaste, and floss that go out to each of the kiddos. And then we also have a local Girl Scout troop who assembles candy bags for stocking.
And what is defined as a wish?
Well, the kids can ask for anything they want, but we do have a gift request limit of $40. We've gone away from providing bicycles and gift cards because of the nature of where those gift cards can be spent these days. But we try to provide an age-appropriate item. And the request, you know, we get everything kind of from soup to nuts. And so depends on what the kids are wanting. And then typically on the need side, we see a lot of requests for coats. We see a lot of requests for shoes, underwear, diapers, warm clothing, blankets, things like that. And this year has been particularly difficult because of COVID. We haven't been able to have our giving trees out. And so we are really relying on donations, cash donations from the community where we can purchase items, and a few of our larger employers who leverage their employee base to really get the word out and get donations for these kids.
That had to have been extremely challenging because it is kind of a grassroots spread out effort when you've got those trees in all those separate locations. So your shift was to lean into larger corporate entities that could spread the word?
Well, we have many partners in the community that typically host giving trees. Some of those have remained this year, but it's really amongst their employee base because a lot of the places that we would normally place a tree in a restaurant or retail store, service industry, they're not open or they're open limited hours. And so the opportunity to grab a tag is a lot less. So we're relying on some service partners like Rotary and Kiwanis, larger organizations like Jefferson Healthcare, some local churches who can ask their congregation, things like that this year. Local realtor office who the realtors are really digging in. So,
well, I really do want to talk a little further about the need, but I'm really intrigued about the how. You know, it's fascinating. You think about it was your grandmother-in-law. I mean, we're talking, 50, 60 years back? 1970 something, mm-hmm. You know, this single person identified a need and started. And, you know, oftentimes when we have nonprofits who evolve or begin, they don't necessarily have all of the bandwidth or all of the resources. And you in particular struck me as how you resource through other partnerships to make the how happen. And I'm just curious, can you speak a little bit about how, for example, I think Toys for Tots are rolled in, and how do you develop those partnerships? How did you maintain those partnerships, and did that grow this year because of COVID?
Yeah, so we actually have several partnerships that have been formed over the years. You mentioned Kiwanis. I have been a Kiwanian for many, many years, and so our partnership with them really stemmed from that, and they, back in 2013, I believe it was, stepped up and became the local service provider for Toys for Tots. And so they're the agency that has the Toys for Tots relationship. They do all the Toys for Tots marketing and collection of toys, collection of donations that are specific to Toys for Tots. And then all of the physical toy donations that they receive come to our program. So that has been a really important relationship because our budget and the amount of donations that we receive really limits what we can do per child. So when you have that community connection, it's huge. And they get shipments of toys that come from the Greater Toys for Tots organization. And so we're able to use those really to supplement what comes in from the community.
Mm-hmm.
We really rely mostly on community donations because when we get truckloads of toys from Toys for Tots, it's often a pallet of the same item. And so we just don't have the ability to give that all out in one year unless you gave every child the same exact thing. So we know that doesn't work based on age. So the community donations are really critical because then we're able to really make sure that we have items available for all age groups. And we serve children 0 to 16. And so you can imagine the wishes of those kids. There's a huge range in those age groups.
I do like to ask a little bit more about that need. You know, you have a wide range of folks that are in need and ages. And how is it that folks connect with you in you know, signing up or finding out about this resource to supplement their family holiday?
Well, we're a pretty well-known organization. I've been helping since 1994 when I first met my husband and started working on this initiative. And really, for a lot of our families, we're seeing generations of the same families. And so it's known within those groups. But we also are on social media. We also hand out flyers and work with the local food banks in both the county and in Port Townsend. We're connected to DSHS and coordinated programs with them years ago, and they've turned all the kids over to us with the exception of the foster families who are handled by the local Kiwanis Club. And so we're known out there. We have a website. We have a hotline phone number. If you're driving around and see a reader board between October and November, it likely has our information on it in both the city and out in the county. And so we just do a lot of word of mouth advertising, but word travels pretty fast this time of year. People pretty much know the program. We do try to get press releases into the newspaper, but we're at the mercy of whether or not they'll print those. And so sometimes that helps. But we do have some families that kind of arrive to the table late, and we do our best to try to support them in any way we can.
If you're just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and I'm speaking with Kelly Liske, the chief elf for Christmas for Kids, an organization that efforts to bring a little bit of joy and gifts to families in need. Kelly, you talk about the challenges of getting the, you know, some of the publicity out there, but you're a pretty well-greased wheel when it comes to folks knowing about your effort. Could you just kind of go over the process? So if I'm a family, I've seen the hotline or I've been reached by way of DSHS. Tell me what happens the next for families who may be in the process of requesting this support.
So our families are able to sign up. They fill out an application process, which this year is fully online, where they can go in and list their information, the number of children that they have, the wishes and needs, and clothing sizes for those kids. They can do that on our website, which is christmas4children.com. We also have a hotline where they can call. The number is 360-379-4207. And leave their information if they have any difficulty with going through that application process. And we also can receive their information via email, which is christmas4children@hotmail.com. So families would sign up. We review those applications to make sure that those kids actually live in those households. If we have split families, one of the adults is eligible to receive items. And so we work out if there's duplicates. And then it's kind of, we're waiting for the community to come through. And then the families congregate on December 13th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds, where they will come and pick up the items that we were able to assemble for their family. So it's a pretty easy process for them. It's very rare that somebody would be turned away. And we try to do our best to help fulfill the needs and the wishes the best we can.
One of the things I like to ask our nonprofits, what's the most unexpected part of what you do that most people would not know about? If you could speak to something about what you do that most people don't realize.
Well, I think that in the greater community, there's a really small group of people that really know what we do. But the amount of kids and families that are on our program is really surprising to a lot of people. We have over 210 families this year, representing about 532 kids. And in a small community like this, I don't think people really realize the number of people that are in need. And we know that we don't reach everybody. We try to work with the schools to get the word out as well. But I think people are pretty surprised. And when we have new volunteers that come to our event, they're kind of blown away by how large of an effort it is to really pull this off.
And how big the need is. It's pretty touching. This year, without the Giving Trees, you mentioned earlier that you really are relying on a different way of doing things. And if we've got listeners listening today, and it is so delightful to be able to give to those little people and teenagers alike, how can they support your effort?
Well, again, we're accepting cash donations. We would accept donations of any new, brand new clothing items or toys. If it's not specific to a kid, those items can be dropped in Toys for Tots boxes that are around the community, and that will get to us. We do have one giving tree that's available to the public, and we kind of did that at the last minute because we have an overabundance of kids that we may not be able to get to this year, and that's at First Federal, so people can walk in there and pick a tag off the tree. Those items do have to be returned by December 9th at the end of business, which would be 3 o'clock for the bank, in order for us to get them to the families by December 13th. So monetary donations are accepted. We oftentimes, most people like to buy for younger kids, and so we have a real gap when it comes to boys and girls 11 to 16. I think they're harder to buy for because you maybe just don't know. Board games, arts and crafts supplies, that's a really important age group that we often miss. Hygiene items, toiletries, watches, wallets, purses, just things that really a young adult would enjoy is usually what are requested in that age group. And we call them the forgotten children because most people like to shop for babies up to about age 6. And so we really struggle to fill that age group.
And that is a really important point. Teenagers, ages 11 to adult. And then some of these gifts, do they go to the parents as well? If you've got adult clothing that's, you know, brand new or you've purchased, or is it really targeted for the kids?
It's really targeted ages 0 to 16. Mm-hmm. We don't take requests for adults. If we have clothing that is not specifically requested, we donate that at the end of the year. That typically goes to another partner organization like Dove House or something like that. But we don't take requests for adults, unfortunately.
Well, knowing that you are such a busy elf, I want to make sure our listeners know where they might send that check, if you could give us an address. And one more time, the name of your organization.
The name of the organization is Christmas for Children, and checks can be made payable to Christmas for Children and mailed to P.O. Box 267 in Port Hadlock, 98339. The main thing for families to know is if they haven't signed up, they can walk in at the fairgrounds on the 13th between 9 and 1.
Well, Kelly, I just have to say, three generations of this Liske Schauer family, wow, what an inspiration. I am just delighted to be able to talk with you today. Kelly, again, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Missy.
While I have your ear, just a reminder, do tell us about folks you've seen stepping up, you know, those micro moments of reaching out and helping others. You can tell us a bit about that moment. Send a quick email to everybodycan@kptz.org. Stepping up, it matters. Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our production coordinator and sound engineer is Jared Dufresne. I'd like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Now go out, get involved, and make some merry.